Good morning, brothers and sisters. I bring greeting from Carrie, and I also thank you for having us to share this mission to the world. I was born from a Buddhist family, and it is the Lord's grace that taking me away to a long distant place in England to get study, and finally my parents immigrated here about 30 something years ago. And it has been the Lord's grace that I come to know God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, and have this opportunity to get educated and to go into seminary and now serving as a professor in seminary. And all this is the grace of God. And I'm so privileged and honored to share today, especially on this 140 birthdays. Wow, this is amazing. And Pastor Laura should come and preach. And this is my honor that with God it's here, that we can share His mission. And why don't let's just give thanks to God before we go on. Let's pray again. Father God, we come to you this morning. We acknowledge that you are the mighty God, and you are the God of our life. We surrender ourselves to you, and remembering at the same time there's so many blessings that you have bestowed on us, so many good things that you have given us, and you equip us with a mission, the big commission to reach the world, to reach the neighborhood. Father, we come now this morning, we pray that you reach our hearts. You touch our life so that we will be transformed, become a new person, created in the image of Christ, and become your disciple. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was working as a teacher in Toronto about 20 years ago, teaching dual diagnosed adults. I was trained as a counselor, marriage and family therapist to be specific, and later on theology. But before I was working with dual diagnosed adults, means they have mental problem and they are mentally challenged. So I come and teach them. They come to the school and they come and learn what is life skills, like learn to live independently. Maybe I'm not independent, but just shake their hand and how to talk to people and how to eat properly. And those pictures are still in my mind because they are so lovely. But they have many behavioral issues, temper tantrums and behavioral problem. They just pick things and put it on in their mouth and shoes and put it in the mouth. But they are so lovely. So I look at them. From the appearance, they are all grown up adults, beautiful, handsome. But their brain stopped, the cells stopped growing. They are only 4 to 5 years old. So they have stopped growing. Outside, they are an adult, but inside, they're still a baby. I'm also a counselor doing marriage and counseling and marriage enrichment for a number of years. And I saw couples, many, many couples, many, many of them. And they marry 20 years, 30 years, or even more, 40 years. But I just invented a word myself. The word is love age. How long you have marriage, your marriage age. Although you married 20 years, 30 years, But do you really have that quality of love and intimacy in you? Maybe the love and the relationship stop when you get married for a few years. So you married 30 years, but your love age still 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. So one thing it really verified me is the longer you are married doesn't mean the closer you are in relationship. Because after a while, your marriage stop growing anymore. You just being functional parents, functional partners. Christian life is the same. Many people have been a Christian for many, many years, but they have stopped growing for a long, long time. Many Christians have even stopped growing before, just after they converted. Maybe they are so, jumping ups and down and for a few years and then stop growing. So this is a common phenomenon nowadays. We've spent so much energy, time, money into building a house, your garden, your job, your career. But how much time and energy we spend in growing in Christ? There's two questions I want to share with you today, two simple questions. The first one is, if we can roll it up, and then if we can see why... Yeah, great, thank you. Why do Christians fall into the trap of not growing spiritually after conversion? This is the first question I'm going to share with you. And then the second question is, according Apostle Paul, what does mean by growing spiritually, spiritual maturity, growing spiritually? So in the next PowerPoint, you can see two different verses. I don't have much time, but I'm not going to read, but you can see both versions talking about mere infant in Christ, you as infants to Christ. That means Apostle Paul is addressing Christians in the Corinthian church. They have been there for a long, long time. But they are still infant. Although you are a Christian, but spiritually, sometimes we are still infant. Corinth, you know, is a big city, a prosperous city, commercial city near the harbor, near the sea, and so much business going on in the city. The church is so big and people are so gifted, talented, financially resourceful, but they are still infants. This is what Paul has been describing. So things are not very troubles and problems and conflict in the church. And Paul wrote Corinth the letter while he's in Ephesus. So the question here is why a church, his historical church, a church with so many years, really planted by Paul, still have Christian that looks like babies spiritually? Because it's simple. Many of the Christian have stopped growing. Many of the Christians have stopped growing spiritually. In spirituality, we have kind of a simple classification about growing in as a person: the head, the hands, and the heart. The head representing you grow by studying the Bible, going to seminary, learning courses. So your intellectual ability grow. The hair means you are so busy and you are so committed and you are so involved in serving God and involved in mission. You're doing a lot of things for Christ. But you know in the Bible, the story about Martha and Mary, they are good. Serving the Lord is good. But Luke talk about Martha was distracted by all her preparations. So she was distracted. Sometimes we were distracted too by many other things in the world. Even your kids, your children, your work. True spiritual growth comes from the heart. Head, hands and heart. Because in Proverbs 4:23, we all know this famous verse, watch over your heart with all diligence. Because from it, from the heart, it grows the spring of life. So the outcomes, your life grow not by doing, it's by how good you cultivate your heart. It just come out from the heart. Your life come out from the heart. Spiritual formation. Pastor Laura's army asked me to speak on that. It's actually the formation of the heart. The change of heart. Vancouver is a beautiful place for retirement. So many immigrants come over. We know that I came from Hong Kong. We have 300,000 to 400,000 still citizens in Hong Kong. So in Hong Kong, when the situation, political situation change, they just go back to States, Australia, and Canada. We saw another influx, the second influx of coming back of Canadian citizen while those are living in Hong Kong. Many of my friends coming back because of the situation in Hong Kong, can see the news. So they come over here to retire. But a pastor told me, well, many people come here to retire, not only retire from their job, but they retire spiritually. The pastor said to me, retire means re plus tie. You change your ties. You know, change a new tile, new wheels, and go for another mission. And this, I believe, is the time for us to change, to retire in a different way. Retire from a job that we can serve the Lord better. Retire from, like, empty nests. For example, my two daughters, they're both in the university. So this year, my younger one went to university, and then I'm empty nest. And then I'm retired, I'm empty nest, so I have energy to pour into the kingdom of God. So, this next question I'm going to talk to you is the next PowerPoint. Why do Christians fall into the trap of not growing spiritually? So we need to be like, don't stagnate and continue to grow. Grow on a new mission. And here is some background. Because you know what happened? Because such a big, strong, gifted church in Corinth, but they have arguments. They have quarrels. They are divided. So it's so sad. It happened in the church at that time. And it also happened in many church nowadays. I've been called to give counseling, pastoral care to church that split, divided. One thing I can summarize from my experience is because the me, the self is too big. I am right. I'm always right and you are wrong. The finger pointing, the rumors, all those are killing the church. The church is not a place to see whether you are better than me or I'm right, you are not right. It's what the Lord wants us to do. In the church, our focus is in Christ. If you read Bonhoeffer's book, you see the fellowship of the believer, what links them together is Christ, the central Christ, the power and the love of Christ that bring us together. And the church is not a social gathering place, or not stop at gathering socially, but God, Christ is the center who bring us together. So the reason why Paul said the church is divided, because in the Bible, we can go into next PowerPoint, we can see one thing. You can see going, they are still quite worldly. The thing is, in the verse 3, I'm going to read to you. Brother and sister, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. And in John 15 and Galatians 14, it all talk about why Paul telling that, describing they are divided because they are so worldly. Worldly. They are not living by the Spirit. They follow the world. They are no different from the world. I have a couple. I have a really good friend. They are young pastors. They have a 5-year-old kid. I received a picture from them from WhatsApp because the wife had cancer. Now it's counting down. Life is a matter of weeks. She posed her tiny, bony skeleton without hair. But she is smiling beautifully. Each day, she wrote something on the WhatsApp and sent it to the friend, and on the blog and sent it to the friend. She is so happy. And she had a son, 5-year-old. She's around 40-year-old. And she prepared one little present for his son every year until his son is 18-year-old. So 13 more presents. His son is going to open one little person a year, every year. She is so beautiful. Although she looks so skinny and she's smiling. And she said, I'm going to the Lord. I do not belong to the world. I have a good husband. I have a good church. The brother and sister in the church, in my home church, is my family. There are people in the church which I went to when I was in Hong Kong many years ago. They offer to help out the son. They offer to be the son's tutor, mentor, because they have a good family. Church family is so important. And she said, I have a family. I'm not worrying anymore. Because she knows she is not belonging to the world. She looked forward to the heaven. She looked forward to a new world. This is how we should live our life. In spiritual formation, we use the word detachment. Not belonging to the world. If your mindset, the way you live in a way, you operate in a way that I have an eternal home. Things you see are so temporary. Sometimes you won't get so angry easily, so reactive, because you know you belong to the eternal world. You not belongs to the earth. You not belong, just belongs to here. You just here for 10 more years, 20 more years, 30 more years. And you care about relationship. And the last point quickly, why people, according to Paul, what does it mean by growing towards spiritual maturity? Yeah. Obviously, Paul know they have problem within themselves. They have jealousy, they have quarreling. Well, in Cambridge Dictionary, jealousy is a feeling of unhappiness and anger because someone has something or someone you want. Anger is the outward behavior of disagreement. But jealousy is the inner kind of feeling of that disagreement. Look into our heart. Aren't we sometimes have those feelings inside us? But Paul here is talking about two life. They have all those jealousy, quarreling, because they are not growing up, because they are so worldly. In NSAB talk about carnal. King James talk about fleshly. That means you're operating with your flesh. Paul, epistle talk about the law of the flesh in Romans. So as we are so worldly, doesn't mean that we just become like the world, but we are actually influenced by the world because we are operating in the law of flesh. We just do what we want to do. We just do what we feel like doing. This is the law of the flesh. But Christians live in other operating systems. Living by the Spirit. We're born by the Spirit and we live by the Spirit. And this is Christian life. And this is how you grow in Christian spirituality. Because you are cultivating the heart. The heart is where the Spirit is. Because in Hebrew, the heart is a central controlling room. Or central controlling center for the whole person. And it equivalence to what God is in your heart, the Spirit lives in your heart. So live by the Spirit is something that I want to share with you. And to walk in the Spirit before I end this sermon. And I end this sermon with a few quotes that I hope that will helpful or insightful to you. Okay, the next one, this next line, the next one, we're going to go fast, okay, the next one. Okay, how about look at DJ Moody. DJ Moody talk about, you might as well try to see without eyes, hear without ears, and breathe without none. As to try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Next one, Spurgeon. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are useless. The last one. Since the day of Pentecost, has the whole church ever put aside every other word and waited upon him for 10 days, for the Spirit's power might be manifest. We give too much attention to the method and the machinery and resources, and too little to the source of power. In Russia, It is an exceptional, world-renowned ballerina, a ballet dancer. She's 80 years old, and she went to a restaurant, and people recognize her and praise her. You are so gifted. You are so talented. And she turned around and to the other table and talked to those people on the other table. She said, this world-renowned ballerina, everybody has talent, but they have only very short time, very short enthusiasm. In Chinese, we call 5 minutes passion. You just have such a short 5 minutes passion. But my passion lasts 80 years. And this is how we grow in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now and recognize there's a long way we need to become more and more like you. Help us, Lord. Help us to have this desire, like to long for you and to have this desire to grow more like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.